Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Turn over to chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4. And of course, you know that this is actually categorized as one of the wisdom books of the Old Testament. Lots of specific truth for us on this subject of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Read verse 7 out loud with me. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The word principle in this text, it comes from a Hebrew root, which would be also translated as the summit. We're a little bit on the summit here this week. We see some summits around us, some mountaintops around us. It's also translated as a peak or a pinnacle. And what God is saying through this text is that really one of the pinnacles in our life, the peak, the summit in our spiritual lives, is this subject of wisdom. Wisdom is something that we desperately need every day. Without God's wisdom on our life, we could destroy our own lives, we could hurt other people, we could wreck ministries. We desperately need God's wisdom as men of God. We're all influencers, we're all leaders, we all have responsibilities. But we cannot do this on our own. We need God's help and we need His wisdom. So we want to talk about this subject of wisdom. First of all, by way of introduction, let's talk about two issues concerning wisdom. Number one, what is the definition of wisdom? What is biblical wisdom? And then secondly, what is the value of this wisdom? What is the value of this wisdom? Now, the reason why this is introduction is because you can't get what you don't know, and you don't get what you don't value. Let me say that again. You don't get what you don't know. If you don't know what it is, you're not going to get it. And if you don't value it, you won't get it. So this is by way of introduction to really what we're going to see in Proverbs chapter 2. So first of all, let's talk about what is wisdom. What is a biblical definition of wisdom? There are many people who have tried to define the word wisdom. Some have said wisdom is application of knowledge. Some have said wisdom is living in light of God and His Word. And there's probably many good definitions, but I believe the best way to determine what a Bible word means is to look how the word is utilized in the Bible itself. And I like to say it this way: the usage of the word in the Bible defines the meaning of the word. The usage of the word defines the meaning of the word. This is why Bible word studies are so powerful, and especially in the Old Testament, Hebrew words would be translated in many different ways, and we even see that in our English translation. And so the word wise and the word wisdom both are used over 200 times in the Bible. And 66 times the word wise occurs even in just the book of Proverbs. 54 times the word wisdom occurs in the book of Proverbs. So it's a very important Hebrew word, but it is also a word that is used outside of what we call the wisdom literature, the wisdom books. And what's unique is that this word wisdom is actually utilized often in the Old Testament in a totally secular usage. I want you to see a couple of these passages of Scripture. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter 36. Now remember, we're looking at this because the usage of the word in the Bible helps us to see the spiritual definition of the word. Exodus chapter 36. And you're going to notice that this word is not being used in a spiritual sense here in Exodus chapter 36. It's being used in a totally secular usage. Notice what the Bible says in Exodus 36, verse 1. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom. Notice how he describes this wisdom. Wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. So here is a simple reference, and he actually goes on and describes the skill and the artisanship and the mastery that these people had were given to them by God, these talents and these abilities. So the word wisdom describes people who had mastered a skill. They have mastered an art or a trade. Now, if you want to, you can turn with me to Psalm 107. We'll look at another verse that uses the same Hebrew word. And there's many places that we could go to see how the usage of the word defines the meaning of the word. But Psalm 107, this is an interesting verse. Verse 27 is the verse that uses the same Hebrew word. But starting in verse 26, the Bible says, "They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths," speaking of the sea, "their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro," speaking of somebody on a boat, on a vessel, "and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end." Here's the Hebrew word for wisdom. They are at the end of their wisdom. Here's a verse that is describing someone who had come to the end of their navigational skill. They're reeling to and fro. They're trying to navigate, but they have come to their wit's end. Let me just reference one other verse. You don't need to turn there. Isaiah 10 and verse 13. Do your own study on this word sometime. It's an amazing word study. Isaiah 10 verse 13 uses the word wisdom to describe someone who had won a battle and they were boasting in how they won the battle because of the wisdom in military strategy. So I've shown you three references out of many references where the word is used in the Bible in a totally secular definition, and I think we could describe the word wisdom in one English word, and that is this: skill. Wisdom is skill. Now, go back to Proverbs, because this is where the spiritual skill comes into play. So we come to Proverbs, and even in Proverbs chapter 1, we see that one of the primary goals of the book of Proverbs is to help us to be wise, to help us to be skillful. So I think it's important that we put it into a spiritual, biblical definition for us, because the word is being used not in a secular sense in Proverbs, but in a spiritual sense. But the definition skill brings to us a beautiful idea for our spiritual lives. So what is wisdom? You may want to write this definition down. And it's really taken from a simple Bible word study. And that is, wisdom is the skill or ability to make right decisions in accordance with God's word and God's will. Wisdom is the skill or ability to make right decisions in accordance with God's word and God's will. Now, if you're writing it down after the definition, you might want to put a parenthesis and say the prerequisite for this is the fear of the Lord. The prerequisite for this is the fear of the Lord. Because here's what Psalm 111 verse 10 says: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 9 verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 14 verse 8, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." So I just want to be clear, no one will have any skill to make right decisions for God unless they have a proper respect for God. So it starts with the knowledge of God and a fear of God, which is not the fear that we have of heights or snakes or the dark or whatever. It's a respect. It's a reverence for God. And so the more I get to know God and His Word, the more respect I have for Him, the more fear of God that I have sets me on course. That's the beginning of this wisdom, which is the skill or ability to make right decisions. This is what wisdom is. And according to Proverbs chapter 4, it is the ultimate principal thing. It is the summit. It is the peak. That we as godly men would know how to make wise, discerning, skillful decisions in accordance with God's word and God's ways. So we've seen the definition of wisdom. Now let's talk about, secondly, in introduction, don't worry, we'll finish on time, okay? But we've got to talk about, number one, the definition. Number two, in introduction, the value. Now you know this. We don't chase after things we don't value. And maybe the reason why this skill is not the priority in our lives is because we really don't value it. And we'd rather have more money. We'd rather have more fame. We'd rather climb in our business. We'd rather make sure people are impressed with us. But really, God says the most important thing in our life is that we know how to make right decisions. What I'm saying is, we better value what God values. And we're going to take some time to look at some verses that will help us to see what God values. Turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. I think we all know that the book of Job is definitely a wisdom book, talking about how to make decisions when we don't know what God is doing, when life doesn't make sense. And so we have an entire book that helps us to understand how to handle trials. And it's a beautiful book, isn't it? A wonderful book that reminds us that God is in control, that there's a sovereign God in heaven. And I love it when he comes to the end of the book of Job, and Job stops asking the questions, and now God starts asking the questions. And God says, hey, Job, where were you when I made the foundations of the earth? Where were you? Are you the one that sends the lightning, Job? And ultimately, Job falls on his face in dust and ashes, and he says, my eye seeth thee. And you know what, guys, we need to remember that the trials of life are a way for God to show us more of himself, to show us his grace and his goodness, and ultimately to even to do spite to the devil, as we read in the first part of Job, that this was all a way of God saying to the devil, Job fears me and hates evil. And this is a wonderful wisdom book that helps us to learn how to handle the troubles and trials of life. But in Job chapter 28, verse 12, we read about the value of this skill. The skill or ability to make right decisions. How valuable is it? Verse 12 says this, Job 28, verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air? Look at the end of the chapter. I love this verse. Verse 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So what Job does is he kind of goes around the known world, the civilization of their day. He starts naming all the precious things. And he says, none of that stuff compares to wisdom. Nothing your heart could ever desire compares to the skill or ability to make right choices. Quickly turn back to the book of Proverbs, and let's notice Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and I just want you to see, we ought to value what God values. We ought to value it in our personal lives, in our marriages, our families, our ministries. This is what God values, the skill or ability to make decisions in accordance with God's word and God's will. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, that's the merchandise of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver. It is better than the gain of fine gold. Verse 15, amazing verse. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. What is it that you value in life? What is it that you long for? What do you desire? Well, according to this verse, it's not as good as what God says is important. It's not as good as wisdom. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, I'm trying to show you what God says, exactly what he says in his word about this matter of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10. And when a writer, especially an Old Testament writer, would repeat himself, almost word-for-word repetition. It was to intensify the meaning of what he was saying. And here's almost a direct quotation from the verse we just read in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 8, verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. Read it with me. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I think it's pretty clear that wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the ultimate summit. It is what God wants us to be striving for. Chapter 16, we're just letting our fingers do the walking through this wisdom book, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. And it says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. We could go on and on. We even have in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a wisdom book, wisdom is better than strength, chapter 9, verse 16. Chapter 9, verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. I think we are getting the point of what God is trying to say through this wisdom book. That the ultimate summit, the most valued possession of our lives as Christian men, should be that we know how to use the Word of God to make decisions in life. Right decisions, that we become skillful at this, that we know how to take the word and the will of God and apply it to every situation that comes our way, every choice that comes our way, with all the responsibilities and all the opportunities and all of the people that are depending on you and me. We better seek wisdom. We need this wisdom. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 2, because I hope I have just kind of whetted your appetite. Now that you know what it is, wisdom is the skill or ability to make right choices. And according to God, it is the treasured, the highest treasured possession that we should be seeking after. I hope already within your heart, the Spirit of God is saying, is helping you to say, I want that. I want this wisdom. And so this is the obvious question that we need to answer. How do we get this? First of all, do you want it? And I hope you do. But the question is, how do we get this wisdom? And this is why Proverbs chapter 2 is so important, why we read it already. And I think in Proverbs chapter 2, we find three ways that you can get this skill. How do you get the skill? How do you master the art of living for God? How do you become skillful at making wise decisions? Well, notice verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 2. He gives us the first way in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. No one becomes wise without, number one, receiving God's words. You don't get wise by the wisdom of this world. Don't you realize there's a different definition for the world? The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. You can have all kinds of educational degrees. You can have several doctorate degrees. You can claim to be an intellectual and be able to answer a lot of life's questions, but there are some people that have all the degrees, but they can't figure out simple Bible issues. So the wisdom of the world is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about being smarter, having more intellect, or having more information. There is no truth apart from God's truth. God's truth is revealed to us in a very special way, in a general way in creation, in a special way in His Word. And so He tells us here that if we want wisdom, we have to receive the Word of God. The word receive here is a powerful word. It means to accept it. You know, there are a lot of men and they argue with it. They don't accept it. So we accept it. We take it as our own is the idea. We carry it away as our own possession. Receive the word of God. Proverbs chapter 7 says it this way, verse 2, keep my commandments and live, and my law, that's God's word, as the apple of thine eye. Listen to this. Bind them around thy fingers. Write them on the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. This is the kind of spirit we should have to the Word of God. It should be written on our hearts. It should be bound around our fingers so that when situations arise and relationship problems happen and issues at work occur, we are automatically thinking about what does the Bible say and how I should respond? How should I talk? How should I think about this situation? Why? Because we have received God's word. It's been taken away as our very own. See, the New Testament tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto him. But we as God's people ought to be eagerly longing to hear and receive the Word of God. So how do we receive the Word of God? I think he shows us here. First of all, we listen. We listen to God. And I think part of what we've been doing even in these days is just listening for God and his Word and his voice to speak to us through his word. Listen to his words. He says that in verse 2, so that thou would incline thine ear. The word incline means to prick the ear. It's like when we hear the messages at church and when we're reading our Bible and our personal devotions, it's like in our heart we should be like on the edge of our seat. Like, God, I need more. I need more help. Instead of viewing church like a religious obligation, we are going there eagerly longing to hear something that will help us be more skillful in life and in decisions. So we listen to God. Proverbs 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear. And men, can I just challenge you, when you go to your churches and you listen to your pastors, that you would take notes, that you would be, you would show your family you're interested, you would be the ones leading at the church in how you listen and how you respond to the messages that the pastors are preaching. Sad to say, this is not the case. Sometimes we find the seat that's at the back of the auditorium. We kind of hope that it gets done quick so we can get out and watch our sporting events. And we start already tuning out about halfway through the message. We're not really seeking wisdom when we are responding to the messages of God's word in that way. So we listen to the word of God. Secondly, we live the Word of God. This is how we receive it, because the Bible tells us that it is possible to be hearers of the Word and not doers. And I think we're really not receiving it until we obey it. You're not accepting it as your very own. You truly are living in unbelief if you're not obeying the Word of God. And so he tells us in verse 2 that we should apply. There's a key word there. That's where I get this application or this practice of life, living God's words. This is how we receive it. The word apply means to stretch, to spread it out. And men, I'm challenging you today to allow the word of God to be stretched into your life. When you put something on your yard, you apply fertilizer. You don't take the bag and dump it in one corner. You let it touch everything. And I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians who they don't mind when the pastor talks about certain things, but as soon as they start delving into something else, even if the Bible is teaching the principles, as soon as they start preaching in application areas and touching other areas of their lives, they're like, hey man, don't talk about that. Listen, we should want the Word of God to be touching every area of our life. We should want to be skillful in every decision of life. We need to receive the Word of God. You men have been a blessing to preach to in these sessions, and you are very eager to learn, and I think that's kind of why you came, right? Can I just encourage you? Don't lose that. Don't lose that. At our university, we have chapel every day. Now, some of those chapels we split up into societies, and then every once in a while we'll have an assembly or something like that, but pretty much every day we have a chapel. And we are challenging our students and frankly our staff and faculty as well that they should be able to rejoice in how often they get to hear the Word of God. It's a privilege. And I do think sometimes we take it light, we hold it lightly, we get kind of complacent with how many times we hear the Word of God. But every time we hear the Word of God, we should be gaining something to help us to be more skillful so that we can be mastering the art of living for God. Number one way to receive wisdom is to receive his words. How do we get wisdom? Receive his words. All right, there's a second way. Notice verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. It says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So he's using these words of literally verbalizing, crying out. We must earnestly beg God for wisdom. Number one, we receive his words. Number two, we request. We request for his wisdom. And may I remind you that the writer of this text is actually one of the greatest illustrations of requesting for wisdom. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 that when God came to Solomon and he said, I am ready and eager to answer any request that you have as you become king, what did he ask for? He asked for God's wisdom, and God granted his request, and according to the Bible, he became the wisest man ever to live. Now, I just want to encourage you that the wisest man ever to live made a whole lot of foolish decisions. So, there's hope for us, amen? But he was an incredibly wise man, and you read through the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and there's a lot of wisdom there. And Solomon has given us, under inspiration, a lot of these beautiful texts to read because he requested for wisdom. And men, as we've been hearing all this week, as we've been hearing session after session and having prayer times together, God answers prayer. He will answer your request. The classic New Testament text is James 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. I think this should be a regular prayer as we approach our days and all the responsibilities and all of the relationships and all of the opportunities that God lays before us. Because here's the truth. We're all pretty foolish sometimes. We're all pretty wicked sometimes. And in just a few decisions, we can mess up a lot of stuff. Just in a few decisions. So we ought to be waking up in the morning and saying, God, you know what? I can't handle this. I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need to be skillful and how I approach everything that comes my way. And God says in James chapter 1 that he gives to all men liberally. This is the only time that we can say God is a liberal, amen? God gives liberally. But let him ask in faith. Ask God for wisdom. Now, I think specifically that there's an application, especially to things that are coming into our life that the Bible doesn't specifically give us a dogmatic answer for. And let's just face it, there are thousands of these decisions in our lives where you can't go to the Bible and just find a verse and say, well, this verse tells me what I should do. There's not a proof text for every decision we make. But there's still a right decision. God has a perfect will, Romans 12:2 tells us. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So even in those unclear decisions, which happen in our lives all the time, we need to take application from the principles of the Bible and make a wise, discerning decision. And you know what? We need God's help. We need the Spirit of God guiding our lives. We need to be praying for this, begging God for this wisdom. Pray these ways. Pray enthusiastically. This is the word cry. It literally means to call out or to invite. Pray enthusiastically. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to be fervent in prayer specifically for this wisdom or this skill. Secondly, pray expectantly because the Bible tells us that before we pray, God is already hearing us. He knows the prayer of your heart before you ever verbalize it. Isaiah 58, verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Isaiah 65, verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before you call, I will answer, and while you are yet speaking, I will hear. Beautiful verses. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I tell you, this has become a real prayer for my life. Most of you probably know that I traveled in evangelism for 18 years, and then the Lord put me in a massive moving machine called a university. My responsibilities in the transition for me and my family have been incredibly overwhelming, to say the least. But you know what? God is able. God is able. There are things that are happening every day in my life that frankly, I desperately need to know what God wants me to do and how to handle these things. The responsibilities are piled on. The expectations are piled on. And the prayer from my heart to God has, in a desperate way, has been, God, I can't do this without your wisdom. I don't want to mess things up. I don't want to cause problems for other people. I want to respond in the Spirit. I want to handle things right. God, give me wisdom. This has got to be a prayer that is regular on our lips. And God will answer. And God brings us through, doesn't he? And so it's important even today that you would maybe beg God for this, because some of you are going home to some difficult situations. And I can only imagine what they are. If we had time, we could talk about those things, you know, and see how God could lead us and guide us. But we all have things that we're handling, and we need God's help. We need his wisdom. So I encourage you to be requesting for wisdom, because this is the ultimate skill, the skill to make right decisions. There are people who have all the money, they have all the wealth, they have all the fame, but they don't know how to make a decision for God. What good is it if you have all of that, but you don't have this skill? Well, there's a third way that we get this wisdom. Number one, we receive his words. Number two, we request for his wisdom. Number three, we reach out for his wealth. I love to play basketball. There are three ways to get the ball. Somebody can give it to you. You receive it. You can call out for it. Say, hey, I'm open. Usually they don't find you unless you say something. But there's another way to get the ball. My coach would have a line on our stat sheet about how many times we dove after a loose ball. And he told us, guys, don't wait for it to be passed to you. Don't even just vocalize and verbalize that you want the ball. Why don't you just go get it yourself? Chase after it. Dive after it. And I remember guys diving into the bleachers just so they could get a slash on that stat sheet. Doing a Superman slide in the middle of the court to try to get the ball when it was loose, just so the coach was pleased. So what I'm saying is we can receive it from others, pastors, spiritual leaders, teachers, even listening on online, different messages and teaching on the Word of God. We can receive God's Word by accepting it and applying it to our lives. We can call out to God for Him to give us this wisdom. But here's the truth, men. We can all be diligent and get it ourselves. Are you a student of the Word of God? Are you regularly opening your Bible to see what God wants for your life and digging down deep? Maybe you should get a concordance. Maybe you should get a commentary. Maybe you should get some helpful resources that can guide you, a study Bible that can guide you deeper into the Word of God, because there's such a wealth of wisdom in God's words. For some of us in this room, we've studied the Bible for many, many years, and we still feel like we're just scratching the surface, right? When you graduate from seminary, they give you what is called a Master of Divinity. I don't know why they call it that, because I haven't mastered that, okay? And actually, I really believe this. As I lead a seminary there at Maranatha Baptist University, I believe seminary ought to humble you. You shouldn't walk out of seminary thinking, I got all the doctrinal answers, and I can slice and dice all of the theology perfectly, and everybody that doesn't agree with me is just wrong. You should walk out of seminary realizing, wow, I got a lot more to learn. A lot more to learn. I remember walking out of certain seminary classes thinking to myself, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to a Bible college. My dad was a pastor, and I've never even heard what I just heard. Wow. That was awesome. And thinking to myself, if I've never heard that, there's a lot more that I've never heard. I want to keep studying. I want to keep learning. I want to keep knowing what God has for me. Because the ultimate goal is that we would be skillful at making decisions in life and be the kind of leaders we should be with the kind of wisdom that God wants for us. So the wealth, this wealth that we reach out for is true wealth. It's real riches. My dad used to say, the true riches are not measured in dollars and cents. Can I just say, you can't put a price tag on kids that live for God. You can't put a price tag on a ministry that God has blessed you with. You can't buy those things. You can't put a price tag on having the skill to walk through life's issues, this discernment, this understanding that God wants. This is real wealth, and wealth comes through seeking, and wealth comes through searching. Wealth comes through seeking. He says to pursue after it. This is what we see in verse 4. If thou seekest her, and searchest for her. Wealth comes through seeking, and wealth comes through searching, which means it has to be a priority. It has to be something that is first in our lives. It has to be something we're thinking about regularly. What does God want me to do? What does the Bible say about this? What are the principles that I can apply to this decision? And as we seek and dig down deep into the Word of God, God will give us that wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. When we need wisdom, we go to the source of wisdom. And God is the source of wisdom. So we receive His words, we request for His wisdom, and we reach out for His wealth. And this is when the skill or ability will come into our life to make right decisions. And as we finish, I want to show you what happens when you get this wisdom. And all of us are striving to get it better and to be improving in this every day. But when you start to see the wisdom of God guiding your life, look what happens. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart," when you have the skill or ability, discernment, to make right decisions in God's word and God's will, he says, "And knowledge is pleasant unto your soul." Notice this, discretion, or literally discernment, shall preserve thee. Wisdom will preserve you. Understanding shall keep thee. Notice this, verse 12, "to deliver thee from the way of the evil man." It'll preserve you. It'll protect you from evil people when you are a wise person, from the man that speaketh froward things. Look at verse 16. Not only does it protect you from the evil man, but it also protects you, according to verse 16, from the strange woman. We talked about this last night. This is what we need. We need wisdom. "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." So wisdom has great benefits for us when we seek it and we receive it and we reach out for God's wealth, and this is a priority and an intense priority in our lives. Then God will use it to preserve us and protect us and deliver us from strange women and evil men. Look at verse 20, "that thou mayest walk in the way of good men." God will give you the right friends. God will give you the right people to be with and keep the paths of the righteous. Go over to chapter 4. We read this text, but let's read verses 8 and 9, which follow the key verse that we looked at. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. If you get wisdom, verse 8 says, "exalt her and she shall promote thee." You don't have to promote yourself. God does that. Wisdom will promote you. "She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thee thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver unto thee." So my call to you as men of God, Christian men here today, is that you would make this a priority in your life. And as the wisest man ever to live said in Proverbs chapter 4, get wisdom. With all of your getting, get understanding. Because wisdom is the principal thing.